Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I love your confidence, old Bruce Koepka.
By the way, before
Bruce
you get to
Bruce Koepka,
dang it.
It's his evil twin.
And Chris Ello.
Jarvis Landry, bless him.
Bless him.
A lot of expectations for this Cleveland team under new coach Freddie Kitchens. I've been hanging around you guys too long.
You have.
I'm starting to mispronounce every name.
You very rarely do this.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So for 604, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, last hour.
We had a guy called during the break who was upset that we didn't mention potato chips.
Right, but you did, though.
In our potato countdown. But I actually did mention them. So that has become now the most popular countdown of all time. Go figure.
Right.
Gwynn and Chris, 6:04 is the time. All right, pop quiz. Everybody get ready. Here we go.
This is like, what is it, like first day of school we get a pop quiz?
Yep, no preparation. Just got to nail these. And the category today
hockey
is Super Bowls. I'm going to give you two Super Bowls. You tell me which team won by a larger margin.
Ooh.
You will understand as we go along. Thomas has dominated these pop quizzes so far.
I don't know about dominating.
Well,
we've
had two of them, and he's won them both, so that's dominating.
Mm.
All right, first one on the board, the New England Patriots and the Rams. They have played twice in the Super Bowl, once last year, once in Super Bowl 36. Patriots won both games. Which game by a larger margin, last year or Super Bowl 36?
Last year,
the Patriot fan
says. I'm
going
to go with the Patriot fan last year.
That's the only reason why I'm going
last year. And that's correct. The Patriots won by 10 last year. First time they beat the Rams was on a last-second field goal by Vinatieri for Tom Brady's first Super Bowl title. All right, the two previous Super Bowls to last year, Super Bowl 52, Eagles beat the Patriots. Prior to that, Patriots beat the Falcons. Who won by a bigger margin? The Patriots over the Falcons or the Eagles over the Patriots?
Eagles over the Patriots.
Eagles.
Because it went to overtime against the Patriots.
Yes, but the Patriots won by 6. Sticking with your answer?
Yes.
Yeah. You're right. Eagles won by 8 over the Patriots. Dallas beat Buffalo in back-to-back Super Bowls. Super Bowl 27 and 28.
Say that again.
Dallas beat Buffalo in back-to-back Super Bowls. Super Bowl 27, Super Bowl 28. In which of those two did they win by a larger margin?
28,
that
was
says
the second
Thomas.
One?
That was the second
yes,
one.
Yes, second one.
You say the second one?
I would say the first one because Norwood was the second one.
Norwood wasn't either of them, but...
That was the Giants. Great.
The answer is the first one.
Oh.
Oh,
so
I still got it
Scraby
right.
Got it right. Dallas beat Buffalo in the first time they met in the Super Bowl, 52-17. That was the game that Leon Lett ran down the field and got chased down by
Don Beebe.
Right. And then the next year, it was a little closer game, but Dallas pulled away and won by 17. All right. A couple of blowout Super Bowls. Super Bowl 20, Chicago destroyed the New England Patriots. Super Bowl 24, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, and the 49ers destroyed the Denver Broncos.
Oh.
Who won by a bigger margin?
Niners,
he says. Bears, the greatest monsters of the Midway. Tony? We have one vote for the Niners and one vote for the Bears. Going with?
I'm going just, what was it, the Bears and
Bears
Patriots?
Beat the Patriots, Niners beat the Broncos. That was the great Bear team, and it was obviously a great Niner team.
I'm going to go with
The Niners.
The Niners is right. 55
yes!
to 10.
Boom!
The Bears beat the Patriots 46 to 10. They were both blowouts, pretty bad. All right, Miami played Washington in two Super Bowls. One of them, Miami won. The other one, Washington won. Which team won by more?
Oh, Washington. I don't know.
Washington.
I'm going to go Dolphins.
How dare you say
I'm
going
to say Washington.
It was here, too, I believe.
I'm going Dolphins.
Scraby, I appreciate the support, but Washington won by more.
Why would I ever pick the Dolphins for anything?
Because you're mistaken.
Now I'm in the lead, I believe, right?
I got...
Or tied.
Thomas... Or I got Scraby 4, Tony 4, Thomas 3.
Ha-ha!
Dolphins won by 7 over the Redskins in the L.A. Coliseum in Super Bowl 7. 10 years later at the Rose Bowl, Washington won by 10. That was the famous John Riggins run at the very end of the game. All right, in Super Bowls 10 and 13, Pittsburgh beat Dallas twice.
In Super Bowls 10 and 13?
They beat Dallas in both games. In Super Bowl 30, Dallas returned the favor and beat Pittsburgh. Did Dallas beat Pittsburgh by more, or did Pittsburgh beat Dallas by more in both games combined?
Oof.
Accepting your answers at any time.
I'll go Steelers.
Steelers says Scraby.
I'm going to say Cowboys.
Cowboys says Thomas.
I'm going to say Steelers.
Steelers says Tony. Steelers won by 4 and by 4. Total of 8. Cowboys won by 10.
Yes!
Wait, you guys take this seriously.
Well, tie.
It's a three-way tie. 4-4-4.
Take it down a notch.
Oh, it's fun. Relax over there. Super Bowl 1. The Packers crushed the Chiefs. 30. Super Bowl 2. The Packers crushed the Raiders. Which game did they win by more? Super Bowl 1 over the Chiefs or Super Bowl 2 over the Raiders?
I'm not going first this time.
You don't want to go first this time. All right. It's a 4-4-4 tie. It's a
2.
Super Bowl 2, says Thomas, says they beat the Raiders by more.
I'm going to say 2.
2, says Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm playing the field and going 1, baby.
Scraby takes the lead because they won Super Bowl 1 by 25.
Woo!
Calm down.
This is the guy who just told everybody to calm down. He almost jumped through a window right there.
Literally.
Packers won by 25 and by 19 in those two games. 49ers beat the Bengals in two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 23. One was the John Candy game, one
yes.
wasn't. Which of those two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 16 or 23, did the 49ers beat the Bengals by more points?
16
says Tony. Thomas, was that you?
I say 16.
All right, Scraby, are you going to go alone again, or are you going to stick with
it? I'm going 23, baby.
And it cost you this time.
Oh, tied up.
In the John Candy game, which was Super Bowl 23, the Niners won by 4. In Super Bowl 16, the Niners beat them by 5.
Oh,
close. All right, San Diego has been host to 3 Super Bowls. One was a pretty good game. Denver beat Green Bay. The other two were blowouts. Mm. Super Bowl 22, Washington humiliated Denver. Super Bowl 37, John Gruden's Buccaneers crushed the Raiders. Who won by more?
Washington.
Washington.
Buccaneers.
Washington's the answer. 42 to 10. They won by 32. Tampa Bay beat the Raiders by 27.
That the Timmy Smith game?
That was a Timmy Smith game, 204 yards, right here at Qualcomm. Thomas and Tony are tied for the lead. Scraby's in last place.
How did that change so quick?
Still a few to go. Patriots and Eagles. Once the Patriots beat the Eagles, once the Eagles beat the Patriots. Who won by more in Super Bowl competition?
I think the Eagles won by more against the Patriots.
Okay.
I'm going with that, too.
Okay.
I'm going the other way because I have no other choice.
Thomas and Tony Gwynn are correct. Eagles beat the Patriots by 8. Patriots beat the Eagles by 3. Famously, the New York Giants upset the Patriots not once, but twice.
That's right.
In the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 42, they ended their undefeated season. Super Bowl 46, the Giants beat the Patriots again. Which game did the Giants win by more? Scrape, why don't you go first? It's not working for you to go last.
The second
time.
One?
The second one, he says, all right? That's Super Bowl 46.
I'm going to say the first one.
You're going to say the first one, the undefeated season, okay?
Which one did who win by more?
The Giants beat the Patriots in both games. 42 was the undefeated Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to say the first one.
All right. The answer was Scraby correct. The
yes.
second one.
Yes.
The first one in the undefeated season was 17-14 Giants. The next time was 21-17 Giants.
Yeah, wow. I was thinking close. I was thinking that last touchdown put them up bigger than that.
Because I remember on the second one, it was like a Hail Mary away from winning, and Gronk almost came down with it.
I also remember in the second one, wasn't it the Giant running back tried to stay, not
Bradshaw.
Fall into the end zone, but then he fell into the end zone by accident? That was weird. All right, we have four of these left, and the score is 7-7-6. 49ers, Joe Montana crushed Dan Marino's Dolphins in Super Bowl 19. 49ers and Steve Young crushed the Chargers in their only Super Bowl appearance. Who crushed by more?
Steve
the
Young.
Chargers won. Yeah,
Steve Young. Scraby?
Get that monkey off my back, Steve Young.
All three of you are correct.
56-10?
No, 49-26. They beat him by 23. The Joe Montana beat Marino team by 22.
Ooh.
So it was actually pretty close. But
is the Chargers Niners one still the largest deficit?
You mean, no, 49-26?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, there was like the Niners beat the Broncos, I think, 54-10 or something.
55-10 was the largest margin. And the highest scoring game was Eagles and
Patriots
a couple years ago.
That was a good one.
All right, Steelers won two Super Bowls in the Ben Roethlisberger era, one over the Seahawks, one over the Cardinals. Who do they beat by more?
Cardinals,
says Thomas.
I'm trying to remember when they played the
Seahawks.
Seahawks, says Scraby.
That was the Matt Hasselbeck year.
I'm going to say Seahawks.
You're going to say Seahawks, too. Tony Gwynn takes the lead.
Booyah!
Now who's excited? He's got 9. Thomas and Scraby have 8. There are 2 left. 2 of the closest Super Bowls. One was the Scott Norwood Super Bowl. The Giants beat the Bills. The other one was also decided on a last-minute field goal that was made. Super Bowl V, Colts over the Cowboys. Who won by more? The game that was won by a field goal or the game that was lost by a missed field goal?
I'm going Colts.
Colts by more, says Scraby.
Colts.
Colts, says Thomas.
I'm going Colts, too.
Tony's playing the game.
Wow,
smart
you
now.
You just bid a dollar on Price is Right to mess everyone up.
All three of you were correct. Colts won by 3. Giants beat the Bills by 1.
Thomas has to go first.
No, that was a really bad move, Thomas, letting Tony go last.
Ain't no rule saying I gotta go first.
Well, there is a rule now that you have to go first.
Why?
Because you're in the lead.
That's brutal.
Well, I'm putting it in. You have 10. These guys both have 9.
We can't put a move, rule in at the end of the game.
Well, it's
I
not
going
to be fun the
I
other
agree
way.
With Chris.
Thomas had the lead last week. That's how he was playing it. That's
where
I got
to.
This is how where I got the strategy from was from watching him last week.
Anybody else got an argument?
I agree with Chris. Tony goes first.
I don't really care. The score is Tony 10, Thomas 9, Scraby 9. This is the last one.
9? I'm surprised.
It's all up in the air right here, so it really doesn't matter if you go first, unless they both say the same thing over there. Here we go. You knew I'd finish up with this.
Dolphins?
The Miami Dolphins won 2 Super Bowls. In one, they beat the Washington Redskins. In the other, they beat the Minnesota Vikings. Who did the Dolphins beat by more?
Vikings,
says Thomas.
Vikings. Tony was supposed to go first.
Tony says
Thomas,
Vikings.
What in the world is going on? Redskins.
Miami 14, Redskins 7.
Oh.
Miami terrible. 24, Vikings 7.
Oh.
It was the Vikings. Tony Gwynn Jr. is the champion today with 11 correct.
I had to unseat the champ one time.
Thomas was second with 10. Scraby.
I have 0-3 on this game.
We're going to change the name of the bronze medal to the Scraby. Yes, I think you've come in third every time.
Good job, Thomas, on waiting for Tony to answer.
By the way,
stop being a hater, Scraby.
No
I just didn't want
man.
You to win.
You don't want anybody to win. You don't want me to ever get a question right. You don't ever want the callers to win. You don't want Tony to win. You don't want Thomas to sound intelligent. I mean, come
That's
on.
That's not hard.
What is it with you?
He's a hater.
By the way, you got 11 out of 15 correct.
Thank you,
sir. Which is pretty good. Thomas, 10. Scraby, 9. Oh, my goodness. Kirk Kenny. There is no tiebreaker, Kirk. You wanted me to have a tiebreaker question.
There is no tiebreaker, Kirk.
Because you won.
We got to go to break.
We are. And then we're coming back with Dieter Kurtenbach. Talk a little Bay Area sports stuff next. Gwynn and Chris. Gwynn and Chris at 6:24. Nice work on the pop quiz, gentlemen. Head up toward the Bay Area right now on our SDCCU fan hotline. Dieter Kurtenbach joins us from the Bay Area news group. Dieter, how you doing today, man? I know we only have a few minutes, unfortunately, but wanted to catch up with you and see what's new.
I got all the time in the world, but I just got on to number 15 and a couple pars in a row, so we're doing pretty good.
Two straight pars. Did you make that last chip?
I did make that last chip.
You made it?
Within three. Well, I mean, it got within 3 feet.
Oh, that's a
make. Phil Mickelson make. You guys down in San Diego know about the Phil Mickelson make.
Yeah, that's a make.
That's definitely a make.
That's a make.
Definitely
yeah.
a make.
You're in
much like, it was like 45 yards out. I felt really good about it.
Dieter, that's much closer than I would have been able to throw the ball near that hole. So
no kidding.
I have no room to talk about that at all.
Well done. All right, very quickly, how are the 49er fans up there feeling about Jimmy Jesus after his Blutarski in the first preseason action, 0.0 quarterback rating?
I think these 49ers fans need to get their stories straight because they're very happy to compliment people who did play well in that game. But when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, who had an all-time, I mean, just a horrific football game, it looked like he was the freshman thrown onto the varsity team all of a sudden. They don't want to give him any blame. And you can't really have it both ways in that regard. You can't say that the preseason only matters for good players. So they are in a defensive mode, which I guess is one of those stages of grief, because I haven't seen anything with Garoppolo that indicates that he's even a viable starter in the NFL. The dude had 5 games at the end of 2017. They were magical, and he was competent, and he had a little bit of spark to him, and he's really good looking. So everybody kind of fell in love immediately. And listen, I led the way. This guy, we got Brian Hoyer and C.J. Beathard. Of course we're going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. Give him whatever he wants. The 49ers are so desperate. But this guy has a bad habit of throwing the ball to the other team, and I'm looking at it, and yes, he's going to take a little bit of time to get the rust off. I understand that, coming back from an ACL injury, but oh boy, this guy still seems to like to throw it to the opposing color. I mean, he's doing it in practice. He's doing it in games. I have a feeling that it's going to happen during the regular season. Luckily, the 49ers can get out of that contract at the end of the year. But if Niners fans don't realize that this is not just some new thing and that it's not an overreaction to say that that bad preseason game pretty much aligns with all the data we've had to this point, then they're going to be in for a really, really sorry surprise, I imagine, once the regular season starts.
Dieter, does Garoppolo have the necessary pieces around him to be successful on that 49er team?
Well, he has Kyle Shanahan, so in theory he has all the pieces he needs in there. I mean, Kittle is one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best tight ends in the NFL. I'd like to think that they have enough pieces. I do think that they lack the offensive line is a question mark, and we saw that against Denver. Denver with that really good defensive line with Chubb and Von Miller really gave him the business, and the middle of it is a big question mark. And then they have a lot of guys who are number two, number three receivers, but they really are lacking a number one, a big body, a guy who Jimmy can just throw the ball to and trust that he's going to come down with it. There's a lot of finesse in this offense, and finesse for a guy who doesn't see the field all that well, and I think we can say that with impunity now about Garoppolo, that's dangerous. That's really dangerous stuff. That said, Kyle Shanahan draws him open better than anyone in the NFL, so I'm not going to put it on the weapons around him or anything like that. If Garoppolo can't get the job done, that's on Garoppolo. Mm.
I hope Jimmy can't get the job done just because Scraby thinks he's the greatest quarterback who's ever played, and He's never really played. So, I mean, it's a little bit of an early rating, that's all. Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group. Obviously, the Raiders are very entertaining on Hard Knocks, and Gruden has been playing playing the starring role beautifully. But how is the playing in the Bay Area, I mean, as a lame duck franchise, it's got to be very strange right now up there surrounding the Raiders.
We're used to it by now. I mean, how many times have the Raiders played their final game at the Coliseum? I think
right.
It's been three straight years.
Good point.
We're kind of losing the effect at this juncture. I'm staring at the Coliseum right now. Who knows how long they play there? I mean, hell, they could play there another year after this if that Vegas stadium doesn't get done. So luckily it's the Raiders, and everything about the Raiders is always weird. So this isn't too far out of the blue. At the same time, they have a fan base that's national. A lot of fans down there in San Diego, a lot of fans in L.A. Vegas is now part of it. I mean, it's a West Coast. It's an entire USA thing. So, yeah. And a lot of people fly in for the games. So, while I do think that the East Bay feels a little weird about it, what's done is done. They're trying to enjoy it. A little bit of cognitive dissonance, and we'll figure this out when they actually leave, because we've heard this tale before.
Dieter, one more question before we let you get out of here, and it's not in the sport of football, but the sport of baseball. Obviously, Bruce Bochy's in his final season with the Giants, wrapping it up pretty strong, too, I would say, from most predictions at the beginning of the year. Has there been any talk about who his replacement might be?
Not really. There are a couple of speculative things, and some of them are better informed than others, but ultimately – it doesn't seem as if a honest-to-goodness search has gotten underway yet for the Giants.
What if I said that Bruce Bochy would be managing the Padres within the next couple of years? Would you think that is absurd, remotely possible, or actually kind of possible?
I would say it's remotely possible. I think that ultimately he's come to terms with this decision, and he is getting up there. He's had some health issues in prior years, yeah. But it wouldn't shock me if he manages again, and it would be the Padres, I'd imagine.
Perfect. All right, good luck the rest of your golf round. Dieter, thanks so much, as always, for catching up with us. We love talking to you, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks, man.
If you guys messed up this next tee shot, I'm going to be very angry. I'm never
messing up again. Well, for that sake, we hope you nail it again.
Keep your head down drive through the ball.
Oh, thanks. Great advice.
Didn't that help? Yeah. Dieter Kurtenbach from the Bay Area News Group on the tee at 16 in the Bay Area. All right. What do we have coming up? We have a little – don't tell me we have PPP already. Do we have that coming up again?
I think it is.
We just did
up.
PPP, but then again, we haven't had a show in a while, so maybe it's already back to being time.
Actually, the last time we did it was almost
on
a
the
week
last
from
show.
Day.
Yeah. The joining us, Dieter Kurtenbach on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now. SDCCU.com. All right, Gwen and Chris.
PPP.
God, where else crazy can this show go? Stay tuned. This show has had a little of everything, and then some. Gwen and Chris, 6:38. Hope you've been part of this show today. I think this has been kind of
a fun show.
Special ones.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about for a while. And we had people calling us during breaks about how to eat potatoes. I don't know how this all happened today, but it all did. Did you hear really quick before we get to PPP? Houston Astros. Detroit Tigers. Did you see anything about this? All right, I'll tell you. Top of the sixth inning, Detroit 1, Houston nothing. Here's the story. The Astros have Justin Verlander on the mound tonight against the Tigers. We know how bad the Tigers are. We know how good the Astros are.
C.
The Tiger pitcher, by the way, is some rookie left-hander named Daniel Norris. Because of that matchup, the Astros are the most heavily favored baseball team to win a game over another team in the history of Las Vegas gambling. Tonight's game. And they're losing.
They are.
Wow. They're losing 1-0.
Ladies and gentlemen,
right now.
This is why you don't bet on baseball.
That's why you don't bet. You had to bet $550 tonight on the Astros to get 100 if they won.
And I don't understand those bets.
You don't understand how they work?
No, I do. I don't understand why someone would make that bet.
Because they're so sure that Verlander's going to win the game. It's like betting, you know, $1,000 on a horse whose odds are 1 to 10. You're so sure he's going to win, you put your $1,000 down, you win 100, but it's like you feel like you're getting an easy 100. That's what a lot of people do. I don't.
They've lost.
People have lost on those a lot, sure.
His last, Daniel Norris, who's not a rookie, by the way.
Oh, he's not a rookie.
But they've lost 8 out of his last 10 starts.
Yeah.
So you probably felt pretty good going into this bet against the Astros.
Astros are the best team in baseball, practically. The Tigers are easily the worst. The game is in Houston. You got Verlander, who's likely the Cy Young winner, against Daniel Norris. But the Tigers are ahead, 1-0. They're now going to the 7th inning. So that is getting close to becoming the biggest upset in baseball history tonight.
And I'm saying, this is why baseball, it's not like football and basketball.
No,
it's just not.
Stuff like this. You'd be ridiculous to bet this.
Yes, if you're doing this constantly, betting on baseball, you're losing most of the time.
That's how they keep building new casinos. Because people bet on these games.
By the way, the Tigers got one run. They have one hit.
But they're winning. Right now, if you bet the
Astros
Tigers.
Astros have 4 hits, no runs.
No runs. Just a crazy circumstance. But on this crazy show, I thought it would fit right in. All right, Scrabby, you're up.
Yes.
Go.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
The Padres fans are getting a little restless out there. That's the theme of this week's Padres Pen Pals.
Because, you know, Tony and I seemed restless earlier in the program, and people were kind of calming us down a little bit.
You're right.
But let's see what the Padre Pen Pals brings us.
Well, let's start with a little bit of a positive next year vibe. Our first Pen Pal is Blake Taylor, and he is asking, out of all the current starters, prospective free agents for next season, and minor leaguers, what is the ideal starting rotation for the 2020 Padres? Let's start with you, Tony.
So we're supposed to include possible free agents? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, you can.
Or is it just what they have right now?
Including
Let's just do what they have right now, because we can't predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, you can't predict. Right. Because the best possible 5 they could have would be Verlander, Kershaw,
right.
You know.
Right.
That's probably not going to happen.
I'm going to say, in no particular order, Quantrill, Paddock, Lucchesi. Am I forgetting somebody?
Well, you got Lauer? 2 more to go.
Lamet.
Yeah.
Then Lauer.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to disagree on 2 of those.
All right.
Just for fun.
Okay.
I agree with Paddock, Quantrill, and Lamet. My other 2 are going to be Garrett Richards and Mackenzie Gore.
Can I go back?
Yes.
I just want to replace 1.
Okay.
I'm going to add Garrett
Richards. Yes.
And I'm going to take out Eric Lauer.
Lauer. So the only difference we have is Lucchesi for you. I'm going Mackenzie Gore to make the huge jump, which is really getting a little unlikely now because he has not been nearly as dominant at AA as he was at Lake Elsinore.
That's when real baseball starts.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying. Because a lot of people thought Gore was like headed right to the big leagues. And you'll get there, but it may be a little bit.
Touche.
All right.
To our next pen pal. Where did it go?
That would be a perfect way to end this show. You just lose all of the correspondences.
Well, I'll go with this one while I find the other one. It's from Maggie or CJ Good, one of our good friends. He contributes a lot to this segment. Hunter Renfro has been a mess since the All-Star break, hitting 183, 294, and 330. The splits will, with much of his season numbers on the wrong side of his career numbers since being moved back to right field, has had some questionable defensive plays again. All right, here's the question. Has Hunter reopened another position the Padres need to fill next season on top of the pitching? Chris, you're up first.
Yes. To Tony and I talked about this. I thought for a while there that the Padres had kind of had four spots already clinched for next season. Hosmer, Machado, Tatis, and Renfro. But Renfro's played himself out of that the last two or three weeks. Needs to finish the season strong. The home run numbers aside, he's got to hit better with runners in scoring position. And got to bring that average up a little bit. The slump is for real right now.
Tony?
Give me the question again.
Do the Padres need to look for another outfielder because of how Hunter Renfro has played down the stretch?
I don't think it would be a bad thing to have somebody in the fold that is capable of challenging Hunter Renfro. And listen, I'm actually okay with the average part, but the one part that you do need if you're going to be a really good team is you got to have guys that hit with runners in scoring position. 177, 79 at bats, 14 hits.
Yeah, that's really 79
at bats.
79 at bats, 28 RBIs. So that is a very small percentage of guys he's driven in when he's been batting with runners in scoring position. That's got to get better.
I'm okay with the average being at where it's at, but when ducks are on the pond, you got to bring them in.
I like
that. And sometimes that's a little bit of a lucky deal, but I think over the course of a season,
whether
it does show something.
100%. Whether it's luck or not, when you come up in those positions and you're hitting in the middle of the order, you got to come through there.
Yeah, that's what you're there for. By the way, Franmil Reyes was hitting 175 with runners in scoring position, which might have been one of the reasons they chose to trade him. Renfro's not much ahead of it.
I was about to say, ultimately, they were even, other than the defense. Yeah. And that's where Hunter separated himself, I think.
All right, our next pen pal, Will McCafferty, he said, how high of a batting average does Austin Hedges need to have to secure his job? 240, 250, or would 300 with runners in scoring position be enough? Conversely, what would be the average that would get him traded or released? Chris, you're up first.
Well, I'm looking at the runners in scoring position right now because I just had it called up. Hedges is actually hitting a little better with runners in scoring position, 212, which is better than his overall 189?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to answer this question a little bit harshly. I'm going to say that Austin Hedges doesn't really matter. I mean, unless he's going to hit 350, and I just don't think that's possible. I think it's going to be Mejia's job next year, and Hedges is going to be elsewhere. So I'm not looking at an average for Austin Hedges right now.
What do you think, Tony?
I think as of right now, Chris is right. It's looking like it's going to be Mejia's job. But I will say that you would like to see Mejia get a lot better defensively.
Oh, if he gets
because,
the job...
Because here's the deal. The games,
and he's got to be crazy defensively.
The games don't matter right now. But I promise you, if the Padres are in a pennant race, not even a pennant race, they could be in a wild card race. Mm-hmm. Defense is magnified come that time of
every
year.
Every wild pitch, every ball that bounces away and a runner moves
even the wrong fingers put down will be magnified if the Padres are in it late. And so all the things that we're not talking about now... If Mejia were to stay on the same track and just, you know, not get better, those things would be brought up again, and it would be a problem, I think. So to answer your question, Hedges would have – he's got to hit better. There's just no other way around it. Like, you just can't have, in today's game, a guy hitting below 200 in your lineup consistently. You know, you give him a spot start here and there, but he's got to get it up much higher. 240, I think the Padres would be very, very pleased with.
All right. Our next pen pal is Robert. And Robert is asking, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. Which current relievers do you see on this team in 2020? And Tony, you're up first.
I think the only guys that have solidified spots, like guaranteed roster spots, are Yates and Strom. They're the only two guys that I think have guaranteed themselves a spot. Everybody else, including Munoz, we'll have to show the rest of the season and through spring. Now, there's some of them that have a leg up on the other ones, but there are no spots guaranteed, but I think Stroms and Yates. Everybody else, perhaps.
Chris?
The only name I would even remotely think of adding to that is Craig Stammen. However, I think the fact that he's going to be 36 next year may make him a candidate to be moved as part of some kind of package deal somewhere. But I, if he stays here, then I don't see him like in the minors.
Right, so, that's true too.
You know, Stammen's going to be on the team if he's here. But I don't. He's just the kind of guy that you. Seems to me he could be a throw-in, a kind of an attractive throw-in in a deal somewhere. We'll see.
All right. Thank you to our pen pals, Blake, CJ,
what?
Will, and Robert.
That's it?
I mean, I could ask one more if you want.
Why not? We got
time. Well, what, we got 10
well,
minutes
kind
here.
Of negative. It's really negative out there in Padre land right
what
now.
What is negative?
Let's,
those
let's
are good
dive
questions.
Into the sea of
well,
negative.
Well, this really isn't a question. It's a statement from Jason Kohick.
Do they know that we're only taking questions? We don't want
to. Well, this is kind of interesting because he said he was at the Reds game last night and sat right next to the Padres dugout. He says, this team had zero energy, no emotion. They don't look hungry enough to be chasing postseason aspirations. Nah. They look like a bunch of guys miserable at work. I think the Reyes trade and Tatis on the IL have left this team without a spark. I think that lack of energy is a direct reflection of what is going on behind closed doors in the clubhouse. Something has to change. So you guys can comment on that.
Is has he been to Cincinnati? Has this guy been to Cincinnati? Other
well, he was there last night.
So he should know why they were unmotivated to be
there. Was
there
only 12,000 or the 12 people in the stands.
I was going to say, not 12,000, 12 people.
That yeah. was like playing a minor league game last night.
That was brutal.
I mean, there was, and listen, a lot of it had to do with the rain that yeah. took place before. Nobody wants to sit in rain delays. But I could promise you, if he went back to the next series that was played in Cincinnati, the same visiting team, you would think it was the Padres.
It's also hot.
It's crazy humid. Hot. You know when it's hot when you see guys with the two buttons undone and no undershirt underneath their jerseys. That's when you know it is scalding.
And then you got Greg Garcia with full sleeves.
Full sleeves.
What is he doing?
That's, you know. There's
wait a minute, Scraby. You walk in here with black long sleeve, button-down shirts on 99-degree days.
But
I don't
I'm
wanna
also
hear
in an air-conditioned room. If we were broadcasting outside all day, I would not be wearing a black
we'll
sleeve shirt.
We'll see what you wear Friday to our appearance.
Why is Tony giving me
so
that
So you
look?
Haven't walked in here when it's 100 degrees outside or even on a destination?
Broadcast.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, you have. You
maybe can. I never wear shorts.
Listen, it's first of all, this team is not. If we're being honest, are we serious about chasing a playoff?
That's out of the question right now for this year.
Right?
I would think.
I mean, that was out of the question when they lost the fifth straight series after the All-Star break.
I'm just saying, like, let's be. We have to be realistic.
Yeah, I think
this.
They look like a team that's not chasing a playoff spot because they're not.
They absolutely aren't.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what would be my response to that statement.
Someone is also asking, this just came in actually from Dale, is asking, what do we do in the outfield? No, seriously, it did. What do we do in the outfield because the outfield in today was brutal?
What do we do because the outfield today was brutal?
I think.
What are we talking about? Defensively? Or just,
yeah, defensively. Defensively. Yeah, defensively. The outfield has been having some miscues as of late.
I mean. Are we looking for, like, gold glove defense from this outfield? Because that's not...
This outfield?
That's not for... I mean, even when the Padres had... I mean, at any point this year, right? Other than Manuel Margot, there isn't a...
Renfro's arm.
And Renfro's
got a good arm.
But the defensive part in the outfield has always been up in the air. You know?
But then you got to hit, too. Strength. If you're going to have a bad defensive outfield, you got to be good at the plate.
But I got to be honest with you. Right now, outfield defense, although it'd be really nice to have, the Milwaukee Brewers still run Ryan Braun out there. I mean, teams want guys that can hit 45 home runs, drive in 110. If you can play outfield, that's a bonus. I think, you know, as long as you have a good center fielder that can chase a bunch of stuff down, you can be all right. Am I wrong or... Because, I mean, like, the Rockies have Blackman over there in right field. He can barely even move anymore. They've had to move him out of center field. I mean,
that's the thing.
Teams just don't even care about outfield defense anymore.
When you look at the playoff contending teams.
Right. They have
they
guys that
have,
can do both.
That yeah. have, I mean, they might not be having the best offensive, but they all play defense.
Yeah. No, I'm old school on that. I'd love for all my guys to make all the plays. I just don't see it being as much of a priority.
It's not. I mean, it hasn't been for a while, yeah. right? That's why you move your first baseman that can't play first to the outfield. That's why you move your third baseman that can't play third.
Francisco Mejia was playing left field last night. He's a catcher. Come on. I mean, what do you expect to get out there? If you're going to put him out there, you're probably not going to have
think
you
just.
You know.
I think they're more comfortable doing it now because, they, as I said, they have the answers to the test.
Right.
They know where, as opposed to having to rely on your outfielder to read swings and get good jumps, will just put you in a spot where we're pretty positive they're going to hit the ball anyway. So
you don't have to move that far.
Exactly. So I think they're more comfortable. It doesn't always work out that way, as we've seen, but I'm just saying.
That's Is that it?
That's it for the Padres pen pal.
Where's the end sounder?
End sounder for?
I can't end a segment without an end.
That's all for Padres pen pals on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a couple minutes left.
That's so brutal.
Do you know what happens
you
on
asked
Saturday?
You ask for clothes.
Shh. Scraby, I'm talking to Tony.
I snapped at.
Do you know what's going on Saturday, this Saturday, August 24th?
Padres are playing the Red Sox.
Yes.
Anything
else?
I don't know.
First college football game of the season.
Oh, who is it? Is it the Aztecs?
No. Okay. Aztecs play the following Saturday.
Okay.
This Saturday, there are two games on the college football slate.
Is that
one of them is not Florida State?
Florida State.
Tulane?
No.
One of them is not Tulane. All right, I'm not going to sit here while you guess every school in the nation.
Arkansas Pine Bluff?
The two games are Hawaii hosting Arizona, which is not the game you care about. The other game might be pretty good. Miami Hurricanes, Florida Gators.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
4 o'clock.
I will be all in Jesse Agler's ear for that game.
He went to Miami?
He went to the U.
He went to the U. They are playing Florida. Florida's ranked 8th in the nation coming in. The game's going to be played at a neutral site in Orlando, which is about, I think, halfway between both schools, kind of. Anyway, college football's coming up. That's cool. Show's over. That's cool. Especially when we went through what we went through
this
today.
Was an exhausting show.
But it was a great show. I thought it was a great show.
I'm going home to have some potatoes.
Absolutely. All kinds of different ways. Thanks to Scraby. Thanks to Thomas.
McDonald's fries. No salt, please.
Thomas, no salt on your fries. You'll get them fresh.
And a wedge of lemon.
Oh, man. Ooh. I'm getting angry. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, back tomorrow at 3. 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.